So today we are looking at an event that made its way into all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Every author of every Gospel found this event so inspiring, so significant and important that it was included. It narrates the inauguration of Jesus into ministry, and it's an unusual story because depending on what you think about baptism, there doesn't seem to be any reason for Jesus to be baptized. So by the time the Lord arrived for his baptism, John the Baptist had been preaching for about 6 months, as best we can estimate. He was preaching repentance and the confession of sin for heart cleansing symbolized in baptism. His message was a message of judgment, a message of wrath, fiery judgment, and he warned the people that they had to escape that judgment which the Messiah would bring and enter into his kingdom. One summer day, likely maybe in the year 26 AD, amongst the crowds that were pouring out to John was Jesus. This was the only time in the New Testament we ever see Jesus and his cousin, John the Baptist, together. The only time. And as I said earlier, this is quite shocking because John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Before we proceed further, let us ponder on the question if Jesus really needed to be baptized, because we are really looking at Jesus' baptism today. So baptism is a symbol of purification. Did Jesus really need to be baptized by John the Baptist? Who in today's gospel reading we see that John thinks himself not worthy enough to untie the thong of his sandals. So John tried to prevent him, as we know. Why would Jesus want to be baptized? Well, this does pose some questions. Ancient writers had all kinds of suggestions. Very ancient writers suggested that Jesus came to be baptized to please his mother. So I guess that's, you know, that's quite contemporary. Sometimes people think that, okay, let us please our parents. You know, one man was about to hit his son, and the son said, "Oh, don't hit me, I have been baptized." So, you know, this kind of thing to please the parents. So why should he be baptized by John? The Gnostics had a solution. They said that Jesus was purely a man and only a man until his baptism. And at his baptism, the divine spirit, the logos, the deity element was infused into him. But then how do you explain that from his birth he was called Emmanuel, God with us? And he was conceived through the Holy Spirit, a holy child from the beginning, and was the Son of God. So in his birth and in his death, Jesus completely identified himself with us. It was necessary. So today we witness another example of Jesus completely identifying himself with us, the sinful humanity, in the account of his baptism. We see the mystery of Jesus begin with an act and a sign, an act of love and a sign of God's compassion. Because God was silent for all about four hundred years. After Malachi, the book of Matthew starts, like the gap is between Malachi and Matthew is 400 years. So God was silent. This is the only time that God spoke. So we know Jesus abided in his Father's will of saving the sinner for which the Son had come in flesh. It was right here that he, though sinless, associated himself with sinners, whose sins he bore when he was crucified. So while other people were going to be baptized to get rid of their burden of sin, Jesus, right at the beginning of his ministry, went forth to prepare himself for taking the sins of the people. So our Old Testament reading from Isaiah puts it very clearly, which has been read to us. It tells us about God's reassurance and hope for the people in Babylonian exile. It reaffirms Yahweh's love for his people and his plans for their future. And in the fifth verse, we see God says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." At Jesus' baptism, we see once again the fulfillment of God's promise of being with the sinners, to redeem and fill them with hope. The God who once punished people for sins has now come to take their sins on himself, so to cleanse them of their iniquities. That is what the sacrament of baptism is all about. It is about making love real. God's love for us and our love for God. Jesus' baptism is for our sake and salvation. His baptism makes ours possible. Just as the baptism of Jesus was an act by which he identified himself with us, so our baptism in his name identifies us with him. Paul writes of baptism with these words in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 to 5. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." It's so amazing when you just think about that. It is so incredible. Our baptism unites us with Christ in his death and his resurrection. Because when we were baptized into Christ, his baptism became ours, because Jesus became one with us in his baptism. We become one with him through ours. It is so remarkable. It is a remarkable truth that can and should change the course of our lives. That we are united with Jesus in baptism. We are one with him. As we read in our collect this morning, we are now God's beloved children with whom God is well pleased. In other words, that God is no more angry with us. He's not in bad mood. So I view baptism as a border. It is a border of life in the context of our gospel passage. In the light of our gospel passage, that border is the River Jordan. Geographically, symbolically, and theologically, the Jordan River is the border on which baptism happens. It is the border between the wilderness and the promised land. I hope you remember the story. The people had wandered in the wilderness for 40 years under the leadership of Moses. It was the next generation of Israelites who stood on the banks of the Jordan, ready to enter Canaan at last. Only the Jordan River stood in their way now. At God's command, Joshua, the people's new leader after Moses, instructed the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant to stand in the water of the river. They obeyed. The Jordan immediately stopped flowing to make a way for the people to cross over on dry ground, mentioned in Joshua chapter 3. And in the New Testament, Jesus is the Ark of God. Jesus is that Ark of God who stood in that same river. So baptism, which is an expression of faith in Jesus, as I always say, it's not baptism that saves, it's the faith behind the baptism which saves us. Because baptism is the outer expression of our inner faith. So it enables us to cross over on dry ground. Jesus says in John chapter 5 verse 24, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." Water of baptism should serve as the border between life as survival and a life that is thriving in the Lord. The border between sin and forgiveness. The border between death and life. The water of baptism doesn't sanctify Jesus. Instead, he sanctifies the water for our baptism. Because in our baptism, we are covered by the righteousness of Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, "I have a righteousness not of my own, but the righteousness of God through faith in Christ." So baptism also unites us with his body, the church. We become one. It unites us with all whom he has called. It makes us a part of him, and it makes us a part of his church. The church which he died to give birth to. The church which is called throughout the scriptures his body. So baptism gives us communion with him and with one another. It is one of the means by which we confess Christ as our Lord and are visibly distinguished from the rest of the world. And we become the light and salt of the world. Although we might think that we were baptized when we were young, when we were babies. Some people say that I was baptized when I was 5, I was baptized when I was 7. We can recall our baptism and renew our baptismal vows today. Because today can be the day of salvation. It doesn't matter when you were baptized. It is when you realized that I need a Savior. We can renew our commitment to God. Jesus began his ministry amongst us, those 3 brief years of glory, by identifying himself with us through the act of baptism. We are still in the second week of the new year. Let us begin this year as his followers, to identify ourselves with him and with one another, to commune with him and one another in the same manner. We are called to be with Christ and one with his church, visible and distinct within this world. Baptism is for this purpose a good beginning. Indeed, it is the beginning that has been instituted for us by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. If any of you are not baptized, so this is the time that you can think of, because we need to confess Christ before people so that he will confess us, he will accept us in front of his angels. So turning again to the gospel passage in verse 21, we find when Jesus was baptized, he prayed. It's only Luke mentions this. The Gospel mentions Jesus' prayers repeatedly at various occasions, bringing forth to us the necessity of praying. The Gospel of Luke has more to say about prayer than any of the other Gospels. We see Jesus praying at the start of his ministry. Jesus Christ's prayer life offers a wealth of lessons. Why he wanted to pray. And in our prayer meeting on Friday, we discussed this. Did he need anything from the Lord? Was he sick? He wanted to be famous. Why did he pray? To have communion, fellowship with the Lord. Sometimes we go before the Lord with a list of things. Do this, do this. But his prayer was to commune with God. Prayer was his pillar of support and his very attitude. So what happened when Jesus prayed after his baptism is so remarkable. St. Luke records, that's when heaven was opened. When we pray, a living and loving God responds, and we further see the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the bodily form of a dove, and a voice comes from heaven, you are my son, the beloved, with you I am well pleased. This morning's gospel offers the suggestion that Jesus' baptism for our sake and salvation. It offers the suggestion that the clearest manifestation of God's power and presence often comes to us when we pause and pray and pay attention. So let this be one of our New Testament's New Year's resolution, to pray persistently, expectantly, and with enough humility to know good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. In the name of God, whose Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.